pleasure to welcome Shoshana Schachter, Professor Shoshana Schachter, to kick off the second half. And she is the Associate Dean, I think, of Torah and Spiritual Life, a fancy title. I don't know what these things mean, but okay. At Stern College, she has a master's both in Jewish Studies for Bernard Revel and in Journalism from Columbia. So she's going to write up to share afterwards. And pleasure to welcome her back to Torah Motion. Vakasha, Shoshana.
Always nice to be part of this. And thank you, Rabbi Kelman, on behalf of everybody in Klal Yisrael for organizing such meaningful learning opportunities, really that spans backgrounds, geographical locations, and really, really on behalf of all of us, thank you for all your osek, you know, Isaac Besarchit Zibor. Really appreciate that. And thank you everybody for joining. It's true. I mean, it's, you know, what are we doing besides all the 100 things we didn't do before Yantiv because we were busy preparing, but, and one of the only Sundays that we have left, you know, before Sukkot, but it's so important to be doing this and learning and we can build our Sukkot after, right? And we always have next Sunday after Yom Kippur, Mirtza Hashem.
Ours is built already. Our Sukkot is built already.
Okay, there you go.
Mine is definitely not.
Anyway, so yeah, I just to explain my title for a second, because you did comment on it. I'm very proud of my office is the Office of Torah and Spiritual Life at Stern College for Women. I always say that it's the only Office of Torah and Spiritual Life in any university in the world, probably. And what my role is at Stern College, on the Barron campus of Yeshiva University, the undergraduate women, I oversee the academic Jewish studies as well as the extracurricular learning. I don't like to call it extracurricular. I guess the yeshiva or seminary part of Stern, however you want to call it, which we never really had before. You know, it was always like a, you know, liberal arts college with the Judaic studies department. And now it's not just a Judaic studies department, but also in addition, you know, other learning opportunities, Torah opportunities, outside of the classes in the Judaic studies department. So that's what I oversee. I oversee both parts of that, Baruch Hashem, and really have the opportunity to, really learn with and impact, hopefully, you know, half of the future of the Jewish people. So anyway, so thank you for inviting me. I always enjoy being involved in Torah in Motion programming. And I guess, you know, the talk of the day is tshuva. You know, I was thinking, you know, everything in learning is like before October 7th and then post October 7th. In fact, davening on Rosh Hashanah, I don't even know what I was thinking last year when I was saying Avinu Malkeinu's. You know, I guess it was in theory, you know, but Shvi u'mashchit u'shmad, and you know what, every time we talked about Shvi and anytime we talk about Shalom, even Shalom Al Yisrael, how many times is Shalom mentioned? How many times is Magen, you know, Ezracha, Magen, you know, Hashem's protection of us mentioned? So just, you know, before we start, just wanted to to mention and just to make sure, obviously, it's everything's in our mind. Today's October 6th. We can't believe it's a year later and all our learning and all of learning throughout Am Yisrael should be in the schus of protecting our unbelievably passionate and devoted and dedicated and Moser Nefesh, Chayalim and Chayalot, and, you know, who didn't have Yantiv with their families, you know, who didn't get to sit around the Yantiv table for six meals. And we should have them in our minds and, you know, it should be a schus for Shalom and a year of bracha and simcha and good health. And of course, protection and Shalom al Yisrael. Okay. Not going to go into that because I have to get through this without crying. So I wanted to take a bit of a different angle of tshuva, you know, because I had so much going on. I didn't get to hear some of the other shirim. I'm hoping to be able to hear some of the upcoming ones. But wanted to talk about tshuva and the purpose of tshuva. You know, where I see there's a diverse group of speakers and different people are focusing on different things. I wanted to talk about, you know, I called it the paradigm paradox and privilege of tshuva. Tshuva is a very strange thing. You know, we take it for granted. We talk about, you know, we're Nasar Simi tshuva now, and we talk about tshuva and the tshuva drasha and Yom Kippur's Rosh Hashanah is all about tshuva. tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'arvir nesroah hagzera, which we hope for. But I really want to focus on where this is coming from. You know, what's this, what is this concept of tshuva and where is it coming from? So I started here with, if you could just look, Rabbi Kelman posted the Mikorot, in the chat. I do, I prefer not to share my screen because I like to see my students when I'm teaching. It's, you know, there's a contagious energy back and forth. So thank you for those of you who have your videos on. And if you don't, thank you for joining us. I know it's a hard lot going on. But that's why, you know, maybe I'll come back and forth a little bit and share a little bit. But right now you could look up the Mikorot on the chat. So thank you for reposting, Rabbi Kelman. So I'm starting here with the Medrash Rabbah, the very beginning of Reishi. And I think it's important before we even talk about what tshuva is to talk about how it really pre-existed the world. You know, it's really, it's such a fundamental, tshuva is such a, you know, fundamental topic or fundamental idea that it really pre-existed the world. And we see the Medrash talks about the very beginning of Bereshit, Shisha Dvarim Kadmu L'Briat HaOlam. Yesh Mehem Chenivaru, V'yesh Mehem She'alu B'machshava L'Hibarot. And then there's a list of things, you know, some of them are actually created, some of them Hashem had in Machshava to create. And he gives a list of things, HaTorah V'Akiseh Kavo Nivru. And I guess let's, you know, he goes through, the Medrash goes through a list of things that were created. Let's look at the last three lines. I think I underlined it. Rabbi Ahava V'Rabbi Zeira Amar. I love that it's Rabbi Ahava. Rabbi Zeira, I don't think that's a coincidence, says, Af hatshuva shenemar, these are the things that were created. So it's Torah, Kisei HaKavod. Again, there's a list of things going through the Medrash. And then Rabbi Ahava and Rabbi Zeira adds at the end that tshuva is added to this group. That it's not six things that were created, but seven things that were created before Briyas HaOlam. And tshuva is one of them. And we see in our second source here, in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, very similar idea or the same idea, but he just adds a little bit of enhancements for us to understand what this means. Ad shelo nivra ha'olam, says Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shma gadol bilvad, that only Hashem existed in the world, ve'ala b'machshava livroat ha'olam. And he started considering, kiviyachol, thinking about created the world, creating the world, ve'haya macharit et ha'olam lefanav, and he designed it. He kind of, you know, from an architectural perspective, he set out, you know, to design this world, to sketch it out. That's the word I was looking for, to sketch out the world. The lo haya omed. And he saw that it wasn't going to last. Mashlu mashal lema davar dome. What is this similar to? Lamelech shehu rotze livnot palitrin shelo. A king who wants to, it's always about a king, especially this time of year, who wants to build a palace. Im eino macharit ba'aretz yesodotav umovoav umotzav. If he doesn't sketch it out first, you need architectural designs. If he doesn't sketch out where, you know, what the foundations are, where the entrances are, where the exits are, you don't start building. You don't just go start building until you have plans. You have architectural plans that you've thought it out. You've sketched it out. And that's what Hashem did. He sketched out the world and he realized that part of what he needed to, before he could start creating the world, is to create tshuva, because the world wouldn't be able to stand. It would fall apart without tshuva. And that's why Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer adds the seventh, you know, the Medrash made reference to the sixth, and then Rabbi Ahava ben Rabbi Zeira added tshuva, but the end of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, PCR Shiva, Dvarim Nivra'u Ad Shelo Nivra Ha'olam, there were seven things, not six things, that were created before the world was created, Ve'elu Hein, Torah, Gehenim, Gan Eden, Kisei HaKavod, Beit HaMikdash, Utshuva, Ushmo Shel Mashiach. So this list of things that were created, it wasn't just six things that pre-existed the creation of the world, that were, I guess, you know, as Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer describes so beautifully, like the architectural the architectural sketches of design of the world, that tshuva was so fundamental in that architectural design of the world that Hashem couldn't create the world until he had that, until tshuva was created. We see that right from the very beginning of the creation of the world. Also, we see it from the very first pasuk, Rashi. It's actually, I was going to say the first Rashi, but the first Rashi is, that's not the first Rashi. It's the third Rashi. where Rashi talks about, and this is our third source where Rashi talks about Bara Elokim. The first Rashi, very famously, we're going to actually come to that at the end. Rashi talks about why the Torah began with creation of the world. We'll come to that at the very end. I'm going to touch on it. And not the first mitzvah. And then the third Rashi, he talks about why the term for Hashem Elokim is used throughout Perek Aleph, and the name of Hashem, the Yod Kei Vav Kei, is not introduced till later, till Perek Bet, after the creation of man and after Shabbos. So if you look at Rashi there, Rashi says Bara Elokim, velo amar Bara Hashem. It doesn't say Bara Hashem. The entire Perek Aleph operation, creation of the world, is Bara Elokim. Why? Shemitchila ala b'machshava livra'o b'midat hadin. Because originally Hashem had planned on creating the world with midat hadin. Now we know that every name of Hashem has a different attribute. So Yud Kei Vav Kei is midat harachamim. That's the term for Hashem that's used more often, most often in the Torah, for good reason. It's midat harachamim, and then midat hadin is the Elokim. Elokim represents midat hadin. So Hashem, says Rashi, had originally going to create the going. He was originally going to create the world with midat hadin, but but he saw that with just midat hadin, the world wouldn't continue existing. We wouldn't be able to exist, continue existing. We wouldn't survive if there was no midat rachamim, if it was only midat hadin in the world. And therefore, higdim midat rachamim v'shatva l'midat hadin. And that's why Hashem introduced midat harachamim to join together with midat hadin. V'hainu tichtiv b'yom asot Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim. And that's why the Hashem is introduced and joined with Elokim. It doesn't just replace the Elokim, which I think is important to note, but it's Hashem. It becomes Hashem Elokim at the beginning of Perek Bet. So all of Perek Aleph is Elokim, and then Hashem is introduced in Perek Bet, and then the rest of the story is Hashem Elokim, and even throughout, you know, Adam's punishment, which we'll see in the next source, everything is and the whole ordeal with Adam, it's all Hashem Elokim. So again, this idea, just wanted to establish this idea that the world would not have existed without, you know, midat harachamim, and of course tshuva can't exist without midat harachamim. Tshuva is all midat harachamim, and actually the antithesis of midat hadin, which we'll talk about also. Okay, so again, just background, and then, you know, if you see our next source here is the sin of Adam, and we see before this we understand theoretically that, you know, tshuva was so important and midat harachamim was important in the continuation, in the existence and continued existence of the world. And we see it in place, you know, with the first sin, with the sin of Adam and Chava. And we know from Perek Gimel in Bereishit, Vayishma'u et kol Hashem Elokim mitalech bagan. This is right after Adam and Chava sinned. They're created in Perek Aleph and Bet. And then Perek Gimel is the sin. And what happens? Look how... again, how tshuva, Hashem is waiting for Adam to do tshuva. Vayishmo et kol Hashem Elokim mitalech bagan. Notice the Hashem Elokim. So Hashem, with his din and rachamim, are going to confront Adam here. Vayitchabei ha'adam v'yishto mipnei Hashem Elokim b'toch etzagan. Again, the Hashem Elokim keeps being repeated. Vayikra Hashem Elokim el ha'adam v'yomar lo ayeka. Hashem Elokim, again, din and rachamim, call out to Adam and say, ayeka. And Adam's response, where are you? And of course, you know, Rashi there says, if you look at the Rashi there, I have this in that same source there, Rashi says, ayeka. You know, obvious question. Yodea haya heichan hu. What, Hashem said, where are you? Because he didn't know where he was. Of course he knew where Adam was. Ela likanesimo bitvarim. But he wanted to enter him in a conversation. Why? Shelo yehe nifhal lehashiv imyan hashiv pitom. Because he didn't want him to be afraid, and, you know, if he would just start punishing him right away. He wanted to open up the channels of conversation so that Adam could come and confess. Like, what Hashem wanted was to Adam to take ownership of his chait and what he did wrong, and take accountability and take responsibility for it. And, you know, that's, and do tshuva for it. And of course, that's what Hashem was waiting for. And that's why he asked this, you know, obvious question of Ayeka. And again, you know, Adam does not take the bait. He does not take advantage of this opportunity for tshuva. And he says, "Well, you know, I heard your voice, and I hid because I was embarrassed, because I'm naked, so I hid." And Hashem keeps trying, you know. Hashem keeps trying. By Yomer, mi kid lacha ki eromata. You know, who told you that you're naked? Hamin ha'eitz asher tziviticha lebilti achomim menu achalta? You know, that's like the top leading question in the Torah. You know, like, could it be, Adam? Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Again, just pushing, you know, we talk about v'shav ad Hashem alkecha. Like, Hashem will meet us part of the way, but he's waiting for Adam to just fess up here. And of course, Adam doesn't even take accountability here, and instead, you know, blames everyone else before he takes his own responsibility. And his response is very disappointing. Vayomer ha'adam ha'ishash, you know, this woman who you gave me, and of course, Rashi points out it's just shtachta Hashem also, a lack of hakarat hatov. You know, you gave me this woman; it's her fault; it's your fault. You know, and nobody's taking responsibility in the story, and nobody's taking advantage of this tshuva opportunity that Hashem is giving them. And then, of course, you know, he turns to Chava. You know, if it wasn't so sad, it would be almost comical. You know, like everyone's blaming someone else. You know, it wasn't me; it was a snake. Adam says, "It wasn't me; it was her who you gave me." It wasn't me; it was a snake, says Chava. So nobody's taking advantage of this tshuva opportunity that Hashem is introducing in the real scenario in the very first sin of man. Like, so we see that. You know, you have the first chait and you have this opportunity to do tshuva immediately afterwards. And of course, the next story, you know, Adam and Chava's in source number six, Adam and Chava's children, you know, almost the same dialogue takes place, you know. Again, I'm not going through this whole story. That's for another time. I always sign up too late, Rabbi Kelman, to do the Breishi one. I always want to do the Breishi. So many good things in Breishi. But anyway, so.
Reishit is open this year for
Oh,
five.
really?
Private. No, almost the entire sefer is taken.
I
If
know, I
you
saw.
want me, I
Oh, I
can
didn't see
sign you
Breishi.
up for Breishi.
Okay,
But
we'll talk.
okay,
Maybe, yeah, maybe we'll talk
I'm
after.
sorry
Yeah.
if I interrupted there, but I
Right,
couldn't.
no, you had to. You had to, because I made that comment. You know, I've done a lot in Bamidbar and Dvarim, which is great, but that's always what's left by the time I come around to realizing I never signed up. So maybe we'll talk after. There's a lot of good stuff. I was going to say, we could do a whole shiur on Cain and Hevel. Maybe we'll do that. A lot of good stuff here. And you follow all the sins of Breishin and how everything starts out so, you know, so exciting and so glorified. And then it ends up, you know, it's so depressing. So maybe we'll do that and I'll take you up on it. But anyway, so the point is that here, you know, they have this opportunity to jujuba, and I think that's why. Like, no one, you can't. You know, you can, if you're not going to take accountability for what you did, then there's no tshuva. The first thing is you have to do vidu. You have to admit what you did and take ownership of it. And then you could, you know, do tshuva. But if you know, it's hard to have a relationship with people that never take responsibility. They're always blaming other people. And this is what's happening here. So Cain, again, Cain, we know the story, the unfortunate story of Cain and Hevel, but Cain v'milchato losha, v'yichar l'Cain ma'od, v'yiplu panav. Cain's very angry when his carbon was not accepted and Hevel's was. And he's also very sad, and Hashem gives him this whole speech. You know, I won't go into that now because if I do Breishit, we'll do it then. And then of course Cain gets up and kills Hevel. You know, Hashem actually gives him a great speech. Hello, I'm Tetiv Se'et. Like, learn from this. You know, build. You know, you can move on from this. Okay, we have to move on here. Speaking of moving on, and you can overcome this. You can get past this, these emotions. And what happens? Cain goes and, you know, interesting in Pasuk by Yomer Cain Havel Achiva He Biotam Basadevai Kam Cain El Havel Achiva Yargehu. You know, the obvious question there, Rashi asks also, what did he say? It says by Yomer Cain Havel Achiv. He didn't say anything. It doesn't say what he says. He just got up and killed him. But again, he was looking for an excuse. He was upset. He was angry. It didn't matter what the exact, you know, sometimes you have big argument with someone and you wonder how that happens, you know, like, how did that start? It was just, you know, you had stuff before. There was context. So anyway, he gets up and he kills him. And of course, Hashem says the same thing, very similar language, same wording that he said to Adam, Vayomer Hashem el Cain, Ei Hevel Achicha, you know, also leading question. Where is Hevel, your brother? And Rashi there in number seven, Ehel v'achicha, same, almost the same words. I'll show you something interesting, actually. If you look at number five, same words of Rashi. Likanesimo, Rashi had said, you know, Likanesimo v'dvarim. Here Rashi says, Likanesimo v'divrei nachat. Same idea that he's wants to enter kain in a conversation. He wants to give him a chance to do tshuva. I think it's interesting that Rashi uses the word nachat here, like pleasant conversation, as opposed to Adam. I think for a lot of reasons, but I think, you know, Adam knew he did something wrong. He was hiding. Kain didn't. Like, Kain need a little more handholding here, maybe, and maybe that's why Rashi's adding this word nachat. But he's entering him in this conversation. Ula yashuv v'yomar ni'arakti v'chatati lach. He's waiting for Kain to do tshuva, and of course, Kain's response is lo yadati. You know, I talked about the number one leading question. This is the number one chutzpahdik, you know, answer in the Torah. Lo yadati hashomer achi anochi. I don't know, am I my brother's keeper, and doesn't take opportunity to do tshuva. Again, some of the Rishonim talk about how, you know, Kain might have done tshuva later. This machloket actually, but anyway, so here we see from the beginning of time, we have this concept of tshuva. And this concept of tshuva is a, you know, when you think about it, it's really, it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't really make sense. I'm going to skip the Yonah piece for now. We're going to come back to the Yonah piece. But this concept of tshuva doesn't really make sense. We know that it holds up the world. But if you look at, we're going to come back to Yonah, but if you look at, the Yalkut Shimoni, for example, number 10, the Yalkut talks about Hanefesh HaChotah Hi Tamut. Shalula Chachma Chote Mao Ancho Amar Lao Chataim Tirdof. That basically Chachma was asked, again, this is all, you know, this is metaphorical, you know, what's the punishment for people who sin? And he says, you know, Chachma says, your sins will follow you. You know, Shalula Nevuah Chotemau Ancho, Amar Lo HaNefesh HaChotei Tamut. Nevuah was asked, you know, what's the punishment for a sinner? He has to die. Shalula Torah Chotemau Ancho, Amar Lo Yavi Asham Vitkaper Lo. Shalula HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chotemau Ancho, Amar Lo Yaseh Tshuva Vitkaper Lo. Like every, so again, just to explain, Torah was asked, what is a sinner, what's the punishment of a sinner? Well, he has to bring a korban and then he could get forgiveness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, what's the punishment for a sinner? Well, he does tshuva and then he's forgiven. So the question is, you know, what is this tshuva? It's like this magical thing that undoes what you did. And it doesn't really make sense when you think about it because, you know, I like to use the example of poison. Like you drink poison, you die. You can't then undrink the poison. You could like pump out your stomach and try to deal with it afterward, you know, try to take it out, but you can't undrink it once you've drunk it. And the idea is with tshuva, it's like this magical something that, you know, where Chachma, Nevuah, Torah have a, you know, what happens? There's something physical that has to happen. For you to have to bring a korban, you have to die, you know, something for you to, you know, for what happens if you sin. But here, this concept of tshuva is this like magical solution that undoes what you've done. And if you look at the Gemara in Yuma, just one line here in the Gemara in Yuma, basically this Shabbat Hashem Elokecha, Gdola HaTshuva, Shemagia ad kiseh kavod, shenemar shuvah Hashem ad Hashem Elokecha. And that not only does tshuva not really make sense, but it goes straight to kiseh kavod. It goes straight up to Hashem. And not only does the tshuva undo, in case, in, you know, if you, real tshuva undoes the thing that you've done, but tshuva can also make your sins turn into zchuyot, which we see in the Gemara as well. That the Gemara, here, look at Reish Lakish, the second to last line. V'amar Reish Lakish, gdola tshuva, shezidonot na'asot lo kizchuyot. That not only is it magical because it undoes the sins that you've done, but now it changes the sins that you've done to zchuyot. So this whole concept of tshuva just doesn't really, it's not logical. It doesn't, it's really, you know, what is this? What is this thing that we do? I brought this piece, I think it's a beautiful piece of Tzidkas HaTzadik in number 12, that tshuva hainu shemeshivoto davar el Hashem Yitzbarach. What is tshuva? It means to return. So you're returning something to Hashem. Such a beautiful idea. That basically what you're doing is the bad stuff that you do, Hashem is basically gives you know, Hashem controls everything. I mean, we have our Bechira, but basically everything you have, all your kochot, this is a better way to explain it. I think this is how Rav Tzadok HaKohen is explaining it, that all your kochot comes from Hashem. So when you use your kochot to do bad, that comes from Hashem also. So when you do tshuva, you're now returning those kochot back to Hashem. And that's the concept of tshuva, that you're returning those kochot that you used to bad back to Hashem. And if you see, the Sefer Karmel is such an interesting Sefer, the Malbim. It's basically a dictionary, for all intents and purposes. And that's what, and he says the, if you look at, in number 13, again, we'll come back to Yonah. I guess I'll end with that because, that's very important to talk about. But in number 13, Pal Shuv Gderehu Sheshavel HaMakom El HaInyan Shayabo Tchila. You're returning something that you were before. You're returning to what you were. That maybe, you know, we believe in Judaism that everybody was created, Elokan Hashem Hashanah Tata B'Tahorahi, that we're created with the Neshama Tahora. This is how we're different than some other religions where we're born sinners. We're not born sinners. We're born with the Neshama Tahora. And we sometimes, you know, we surround that neshama tahora with chataim. And when we do tshuva, we're returning to our original selves, which is our neshama tahora. Again, because you're taking away those chataim and that ra from your neshama. So you're returning back to your original state, which is the state of being tahor, being pure. And then if you look at the Gemara, the Rambam talks about famously that midrachei tshuva liyot hashev tzoeik tamim l'fi Hashem, that basically you become a new person. Klomar, last line, ani acher ve'eini oto ha'isha asa oto ha'masim. I'm a different person. I become a different person. When you do real tshuva, you know, meshanem asav kulam l'tova l'derech shara v'golam imkomo. You become a totally different person, and that's what tshuva does for you. So we see that there's this concept of tshuva that really doesn't seem logical at all. One last thing before we get to Yonah, the Gemara in Yuma, number 15, also has this very interesting like imagery, that tshuva is so powerful. Look at the last line in source number 15, kekelev shava ka'o. It's like a dog that eats the vomit that he's vomited out. Sorry for the bad image. But when you sin after tshuva, it's like eating your vomit. It was expunged and now you're ingesting it again. So we have this concept of tshuva, which undoes that which you've done, which was bad. So I wanna end with two things. I mean, not ends, go through a little bit Yonah, I have a little more time, and talk about how this is really the entire theme of Sefer Yonah. You know, it's interesting because Yonah, it's almost cliched, like everyone knows you lay in Yonah on Yom Kippur and at Mincha on Yom Kippur. And it's a great story. And if you ask anybody, you know, certainly, most people, if you ask them, well, why do we lay in the story of Yonah on Yom Kippur? The answer is because it's a story about tshuva. And then if you ask them, well, why is it a story about tshuva? Most people will respond and say, well, because, you know, Yonah did tshuva. He was told to go to Nineveh, you know, and then he didn't. And he ran away, tried to run away from Hashem, realized he couldn't. And then he does tshuva and he goes and he actually, you know, does deliver the message that he should have delivered, which is very nice and all, you know. And that's, again, Perek Aleph. Again, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but by Yidvar Hashem al Yonah ben Amitai Lemar, you know, Kumel Lecha Nineveh in source number 8. We're back, going back to number 8. 8 and 9 here. So he tells him to go to Nineveh. And of course, you know, again, we could do a whole shiur just on Yonah, and he doesn't. And he tries to run away for a variety of reasons. He doesn't want Bnei Yisrael to look bad. We'll talk about that. And, a whole bunch of different reasons. And I want to suggest one, you know, as we go through the story. And he basically, and then he tries to run away. He goes on this boat and then there's a storm and he knows that it's his fault. Everybody's going crazy, throwing things overboard. He says, throw me overboard. I'm the reason for the, you know, they say, why are you not praying to your God? We're all praying. And he's like, well, because I know it's my fault. And then he's thrown overboard, and that's Perek Aleph. And he's swallowed by a fish. And then in Perek Bet, he's swallowed by a fish. And then he davens from Hashem to Hashem from inside the fish. And if you look at the words, and then in Perek Gimel, he goes to Nineveh actually this time, and he delivers the message that he was supposed to deliver in the first place. So when you talk about, you know, oh, because Yonah did tshuva, the question is where? Where does he do? Two questions. First of all, where does he do tshuva? Because if you look at the tefillah in Perek Bet, it's not Yonah saying, I did something wrong. It's Yonah saying, I got caught. I shouldn't have run away from God. It's not saying he still is justified in thinking, look carefully. I don't have time to go through the whole thing, but he still feels justified that what he did was right, but it was stupid because he knows he can't run away from Hashem. So Hashem, please save me and I'll go do what you told me to do because I have to. But it's not like, you know, it's more like, I'm sorry because I got caught. It's not sorry because I did the wrong thing. And not only that, you know, so then he goes and he does the right thing. And then and then Ninveh does tshuva at the end of Perek Gimel. So if Yonah actually did tshuva in Perek Bet, then Yonah should have ended after Perek Gimel. Because then Yonah did tshuva, Ninveh does tshuva. So then why do we have Perek Dalet? And Perek Dalet is fascinating. Perek Dalet starts in our source number 8, Vayera el Yonah ra'ag dola vayicharlo. He's so angry. Clearly, he's not at peace here. Clearly, he doesn't think that, you know, that Hashem was right in telling him to go to tree. He's very upset. He's so upset. By itpalel al Hashem vayomer, ana Hashem halo zed dvarai, ad heyoti al admati, al ken kidamti libroch tarshisha. He's like, I knew this was going to happen. This is why I ran away from, you know, to Tarshish. I ran away from going to Ninveh. Because I knew that you are Kel Rachum Chanun. I knew that you were going to let them do tshuva. And if you notice, very obviously, he's leaving out the word emes. He's bringing the attributes of Hashem and he's saying, I know you're Kel Rachum Chanun, Erech Apayim Rav Chesed, but he's not. But he's not including MS because what he's saying essentially, and I think this is why he ran away, because he does not believe Hashem is MSic. He does not believe, he says, you are merciful God, but you're not MSic because tshuva doesn't make sense. I knew you were going to let them do tshuva and it's not fair and it's not right. And that's what's upsetting me now. And now just kill me off now, God, because my death is better than my life, because I don't want to live in a world that's completely devoid of real MS. This doesn't make sense. Tshuva is not logical. We saw it doesn't make, can't undrink the poison. So Hashem has to teach him a lesson. And that's the lesson. Again, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Hashem says, you know, are you very angry? And Yonah goes and he, you know, he watches. And anyway, the rest of the story, Hashem then, you know, appoints or creates a little bush to give him shade. And he's very happy. He's very emotional, Yonah. He's very happy. And then he has this insect or worm destroy this bush and it dries up. And then the sun is beating down on Yonah. He's about to pass out and he wants to die again. Tov moti mechayai, he says again, it's better to die than to live. And then Hashem says, you're so upset about this bush, you know, that now got dried up. And Yonah says, yes, like, I want to die. I'm so upset about the bush. So then Hashem responds, Vayom Hashem, you're so upset. You took mercy on this bush. Asher lo maltabo, you had nothing to do with it growing. You didn't work hard to grow it. Lo gidalta shaben laila hayal ben laila, but one day you had it. The next day you didn't. Like, you had nothing to do with this thing. It sprouted up one day. The next day it was gone. You're so upset at the loss of this bush. Vanilo achus al ninve hayirak dola. Leaves it very up in the air. You're so upset about this bush. You had nothing to do with it. And I shouldn't be upset about this Ninveh, this big city that has so many people and animals that I created. And of course, the lesson he's teaching to Yonah is why he even created this concept of tshuva. Why Hashem allows for this, yes, you know, sort of illogical, if you want to say, concept of tshuva, but how really that's part of the MS of the world. That it's really not as wrong. It's not wrong like Yonah thinks it, or lack of MS, or, you know, not emistic as Yonah thinks. And I added here the Medrash Yonah. There's a beautiful Medrash Yonah. You know, the Midrashim often fill in the gaps, you know, for gaps in the story. And, you know, how does this end? We assume Shtika Keoda, like, you know, Yonah got the message at the end, but the Medrash, I don't have time to go through the whole thing, but the Medrash, it says very beautifully, it just describes, and, you know, that Yonah's reaction, Yonah He says, you did nothing for this bush. Why are you so upset? Third line in number 9. What happened to Midat Hadin? Why is this fair? Why are you letting them do tshuva? They were wrong. They should be punished. What? Do you not care about Midat Hadin? B'midat rachamim tanhiget olamecha. I've learned my lesson that it's Midat rachamim is how you run the world. V'na'elecha tila sheken k'tiv la'Hashem Elokeinu harachamim v'aslichot sh'nemar ki kel rachum v'chanun. And he continues and he says, I didn't realize this before. I didn't realize how important this rachamim is. I'm looking for the part that I can read here. He says, "Lo iti yodeh chasadeh harim, lo iti magid." I had no idea how great you are, God. Mi she'ein mi she'aseh kemaseh chagvuratecha. Nobody would do that. Nobody would be mochel like the way you are and turn, you know, the chataim into zuchuyo. Like, it makes no sense. Mi kel kamocha ela kulot tshuvot kisei tilacha asher maseh adecha. And then he ends, you know, ms siftotecha, ms siftotecha chayim, ms chastecha gadol asherin nachlatecha shata makdim la rachamim b'chol eit b'chol sha'a. This is the epitome of ms. He learned his lesson that tamochel avonam kidei liten oz v'kavod l'shmacha, that you allow them to do tshuva, and this is all part of your ms in the world. And that they should, because you don't want Rasham to die, but rather you want them to live and be able to, you know, to give praise and kavod l'shmecha. And really, Yonah comes to this realization that tshuva is not, you know, the bad thing, that doesn't make sense. And understands why Hashem gives people the opportunity to do tshuva in the world. And Yonah, you know, I mean, Yonah's just a fascinating character himself. I mean, it's not lost on us that Yonah's name is Yonah ben Amittai. You know, he was Yonah, the son of Amittai, of Emes. Like, Emes was his whole character trait. You know, that was his essence. And that's why he felt like he couldn't live if there's no Emes in the world. And he had to learn that this is Hashem's true Emes in the world. And it's coming from a tremendous place. It's coming from a place of tremendous love that Hashem has for his creations. And that's why we read that. That's why we read Yonah on Yom Kippur, and that's why we read it, by the way, at Mincha time, because Mincha is, was established by Yitzchak, who is Din. He's the epitome of Din, of judgment, and that's why we need this at Mincha time, because this is the epitome of Rachamim and how it explains where Tshuva comes from. That's when we need the Rachamim, when Din is strongest on the day of Yom Kippur, and that's why Yonah ben Amittai needed to learn what real Emes was and where this concept of Tshuva was coming from. And I just want to end with one piece here, where there's a beautiful medrash from Parsha Vayeshev, which talks about, you know, references this idea of tshuva, one of the worst sins in the Torah. You know, the sins I started at the beginning of Reish, they're individual people, but you have, you know, Bnei Israel, literally Bnei Israel, the children of Yaakov, when they sell Yosef to slavery. The Medrash says in number 16, jumping to the end here, Shvatim ayu asokim v'mechirato shel Yosef. During Mechiras Yosef, it was a very bad, very, very tragic point in Jewish history. Everybody was busy. The Shvatim were busy selling Yosef. Yosef haya asuk b'sako v'tanito. Yosef was busy mourning the fact that he was sold. Reuven haya asuk b'sako v'tanito. Reuven was busy mourning the fact that Yosef was sold because, you know, maybe he didn't want to sell him. Yaakov haya asuk b'sako v'tanito. Yaakov was busy mourning because his son was sold. So everybody's mourning, you know, everybody, which makes sense up until this point. And then says the Medrash, V'Yehuda haya asuk likach lo isha. Yehuda was busy looking for a wife. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu haya asuk bo re'or shel melech HaMashiach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was busy looking for choosing the light of Mashiach, choosing Mashiach. So it just, you know, up until that point with Yehuda, it doesn't really make sense. It makes sense. But then everyone's mourning and Yehuda's like out there shidduch dating, or rather hanging out at the local well, right? And then, and Hashem's choosing Mashiach. So what is this all about? The Kutzker Rebbe has a beautiful explanation. He says that really Yehuda was the one person in the story that understood what real tshuva was. Everybody else was mourning about what happened in the past. Yehuda was the one person who said, you know what? I have to pick myself up and brush myself up. This was terrible, but I have to move on. I have to create a future. I have to move forward with the knowledge of what I've done and what I've learned. And that's why when Hashem saw that Yehuda, and that's, you know, the Rambam's famous, you know, final level of tshuva is Kabbalah HaAtid. You know, it's not just enough to have charata and to have vidoy, to admit what you've done and to feel bad about it, but you also have to do Kabbalah HaAtid. You have to look to the future. And when Hashem saw that Yehuda was the one person who recognized real tshuva in the story, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now I know when the world does tshuva, where Mashiach is going to come from. He's going to come from Shevet Yehuda. And one last piece, I know I see Rabbi Blau here, and one we started a little bit late. Hi. One last piece I just wanted to end with was, and you could look this up on your own, but I feel this so strongly, especially this year when we're looking, you know, we need Hashem's rachamim, like more. I mean, we've needed other times. I shouldn't say more than ever before, but I guess that's my lifetime experience. But we need it tremendously. No comparison here. But, you know, we look towards Hashem, you know, when Moshe ends, the last thing Moshe says, Ashrecha Yisrael, mi kamocha am, nosha b'Hashem. Moshe is basically saying, like, at the end of the day, after giving all the brachot to the Shvatim, like, we have each other and we have Hashem. And we have to... we have to tap into that, you know, Am Yisrael and the protection of Hashem. And that comes from tremendous Ahava. And we have to remember how much Hashem loves us. And if you look at, I'm not doing this now, but, you know, the very first Rashi of every Sefer talks about Hashem's love for the Jewish people. But if you look at the last Rashi, we're going to read it. We're going to read the last few psukim on Simchas Torah, which is going to be very difficult this year. And just to keep this in mind, you know, when we end the Torah, right, the very last pasuk of the Torah, you know, last few psukim, lo kam navi od b'Yisrael kemosha l'chol ha'otop ha'motim asher shlacho Hashem l'asot b'eretz b'Yisrael l'paru l'chol ha'vadav l'chol ha'artzo u'l'chol ha'yad ha'chazaka l'chol mara ha'gadol asher asa Moshe le'inei kol Yisrael. Look at what Moshe, nobody, there was nobody like Moshe. And look what he did. He brought all these otot, all the signs, he brought Hashem, he debuted Hashem into the world. He brought Hashem into the world. All the Yad Chazaka, all the amazing things he did that Moshe did, le'inei kol Yisrael, in the eyes of all of B'nai Yisrael. And if you look at Rashi, the very last Rashi of the entire Torah, what does Rashi say? Le'inei kol Yisrael. What did Moshe do that was so great that he showed, you know, all of B'nai Yisrael? He did in the front of the eyes of all of B'nai Yisrael. Says Rashi, Shenaso libor libo lishbar haluchot le'ineihem. He broke the luchos. That's what he did in front of all of B'nai Yisrael. Shenemar v'ashabrem le'ineihem. Rashi says, what did Moshe do that was so great? He showed everybody. He broke the luchos. Seriously? I mean, that's like, we're not even sure. Should he have done that? Was that a good thing? It's not a good thing. That's what he did. Out of all the things Moshe did, he broke the luchos. And I think the message is that even after the broken luchos, Hashem still loves B'nai Israel. Even after the biggest sin they did, you got to push forward. You have to move forward. You have to continue on. The relationship with Hashem doesn't get destroyed. That we have strength. We have vision. We have our future. We know that we are resilient, and that Hashem's love for us is resilience. And Hashem's love for us should continue being resilient and protect all our chayalim and chayalot. Hashem yishmar alehem, Hashem yishmar al Am Yisrael at a time that we need. And remember, if we remember how much Hashem loves us and why he gives us this opportunity to do tshuva, where this tshuva comes from, that it comes from a place of love, and we can tap into that and hopefully, you know, and move forward and get nechama and hopefully the Yeshua that we all need for Am Yisrael now. So have a Gemar Chatima Tova, everybody. And thank you for joining.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Shoshana. Okay, we'll take it. It's to get back on track. Well, thank you for that. I don't know if there's anybody, it's a 5-second question, then a 30-second answer.
You can also always email me and I'll give you my number and we can call. I don't want to take more time.
If somebody has a real comment they want to say very quickly, otherwise we'll take a 1-minute break and welcome Rabbi Yitzi Blau. We'll start that in 1 minute. Okay. Thank you, Shoshana. A pleasure. And we can talk about Parsha Bereishit afterwards and go to the schedule I sent you. See, there's very little left in Bereishit.
Okay, I'll take a look. So.
Okay. All
It
right. Very
depends on the
much. We're
timing.
talking about our, of course, our rotating Parsha Shiur on Thursday night. So I just sent out to everybody to fill in for next year. So first come, first serve. That's how it goes. Okay. All right.